Here's Scott Mitchell, our TSN 1050 Jays reporter. You're a man of journalistic integrity. How rattled would you be if I got out in front of this and just said, hearing Vladdy is coming up by the end of the week, even though I have no sources and I couldn't corroborate it at all? I just feel like it's probably going to happen.
Hey, just as long as you tack on that you're hearing that he's going to be really good as well, I think that tweet will go viral. So okay. I'm fine with that.
Because it feels like a foregone conclusion, right? Like, he's coming up at some point this week, I think.
Why don't we ask the man when he thinks?
Well, yeah, all right. Yeah. You give us the scoop, Scotty.
Logically, I think Friday should be the day. When you kind of look at the whole situation, they've been saying on the record, and when I say they, I say Ross Atkins and the front office, you know, they wanted to get him a stretch of games. And when you look at him playing tonight in Syracuse, he could play tomorrow in Syracuse, he could play Wednesday night in Syracuse, and that would be the first time all season that he's played on three consecutive days. And that's a big milestone. That's a hurdle. Cause you know, these guys need to play every single day. They need to be ready. So then when you look at the off day on Thursday, I think you could probably announce it if you're the Blue Jays, get a little momentum for Friday night's game, and you know, there we are. So, I mean, that seems like the logical way to do it. And he just has to get into these games over these next 3 days and, you know, clear that final hurdle.
Do you think they would have considered tomorrow night with the Leafs-Bruins Game 7, Raptors-Magic Game 5? Like, do they want to promote this promotion and promote this platform that he's going to have, that it's the most anticipated debut in franchise history?
Sure. I definitely think they would like to promote it, but I really believe the three consecutive games getting him into a good stretch. And, you know, when you look at that and you kind of scoff at it from the big picture perspective, I mean, what is that going to do for this kid? You know, these guys need to play every day and they need to be ready, and they want to put him in the most, you know, the best position to succeed right out of the gates. And, you know, getting him 3 days of at-bats in hopefully decent weather down there in Syracuse, you know, that sets him up pretty good. You know, I think they looked at this general time frame, you know, had he stayed healthy and not suffered that oblique injury. I think this was kind of the general time frame. I mean, I think you can find, you know, some writing I did in the winter that kind of pointed out this area of the schedule that would be seen realistic from, you know, as far back as December. So, you know, I think this was the week they kind of looked at if everything kind of fell into place, and then that's what we're going to be here. And, you know, this is a wait that has, you know, frustrated a lot of fans, and it's obviously caused a little bit of a stir over the last few days. You know, I've been called an idiot on Twitter more than ever, and that's just because these guys want to see Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in a Blue Jays uniform. And like you said, this is the most anticipated debut, I would say, in franchise history. And, you know, that includes a number of, you know, high profile free agents, like, you know, guys like Jose Canseco that people want to see. This is the kid. This is the future. This is the cornerstone. And, you know, if something happens to him, you know, this whole rebuild kind of goes sideways potentially.
What's the deal with Sanchez fingernails, blisters? I mean, is this going to become a big time problem again? I saw a tweet the other day. It was like, this guy's got like just electric stuff, Hall of Famer type stuff, and is it going to just go to waste because of his fingernails?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be really interesting. Obviously, the Blue Jays are off today, and, you know, after last night's game, Charlie Montoyo thought that, you know, maybe he would miss one start, maybe it wasn't as bad, so they've kind of portrayed it as a, you know, best case scenario, and they got him out of there to make sure it didn't get worse. But you know, like you say, I've heard that numerous times with this guy. Last year they expected him to miss one start or two starts when he you know, caught his finger in the luggage, you know, allegedly, and you know, he ended up being out, and that ended his season. So with this guy and fingers, it's just a recurring theme. And, you know, it sounds like it's just a broken nail, but I mean, what led to that broken nail, and why is that happening? Because he obviously can't pitch like that. So you know, I haven't broken a nail in a long time, but I think you know, it's tough. I mean, I'd be shocked if he didn't need a stint on the 10-day injured list at this point. But, you know, it's unfortunate because he looked electric. The stuff was nasty, the curveball was coming back, he was using his whole repertoire, and when you talk to him, he felt so positive. And, you know, after 2 years of really seeing it on his face how frustrated he was, he looked like he was in a good spot. And then yesterday you kind of see that face return as he's looking down you know, at the ball and at his finger. And, you know, if you're the Blue Jays, you really hope this is just a blip on the radar. But considering his history, man, I don't know how you can have any confidence that this will be a short-term thing.
Some of the Blue Jays in spring training were talking about the importance of having some veteran leadership and guys in the clubhouse that have been around. And it seemed like Matt Shoemaker kind of was filling that void. You know, he had the deal where all the pitchers walked out together and they said, you know, we're a group and you're battling all of us if you battle one of us. And then that happens to him with his knee. I mean, how disappointing is that for that group and the player himself?
Yeah, definitely. This is another guy who, you know, we talked about it in spring training that, you know, every single one of these guys in the rotation has had serious health issues over the last couple of years. So there was really no confidence that that wouldn't continue. And, you know, just a freak play on the rundown, the torn ACL. I mean, you know, when I saw the play, it didn't look good the way he reacted. But I thought maybe, you know, he would dodge a bullet and it would just be some sort of, you know, minor damage that wouldn't, you know, be a full year. But, you know, you're right. He kind of really, you know, started to become the glue to that rotation, almost the veteran presence that brought that group together in a very short time. And just like Aaron Sanchez, this guy was pitching tremendously well, and he started to look like the guy a couple of years ago that the Angels thought they had. And, you know, what they thought they had was, you know, essentially a ready-made number three starter, a guy who can, you know, slide in behind an ace and give you those seven strong innings, and that's what he was doing. And, you know, now it's the same case as Aaron Sanchez. When you look at his last two, three, four seasons, you know, there's nowhere close to a full season on the resume, and you wonder if things will, you know, ever turn around. And, you know, the one thing with Shoemaker, that if you wanted to really look at the glass half full perspective, at least it's not another arm injury. So something like that. I mean, an ACL, he can recover, should be good to go, you know, next year in spring training. It'll be interesting to see, because the Blue Jays do control him for another year. They're going to have to pick that up about probably about $5+ million to get him back in that rotation. So, you know, this kind of throws a wrench into those plans as well as any plans to, you know, potentially trade him or Sanchez at the deadline. So, you know, everything was looking up for this rotation, and then in the span of a weekend out in California, everything kind of fell apart.
Well, I mean, it sounds callous, but that's the truth. Like, Shoemaker had a good start, and I think the majority of people in Toronto thought, just get to July and flip him. And, mm-hmm. and it's even right. more complicated with Sanchez, because he's got such great stuff. He's such a, you know, he's a homegrown talent. If he's pitching well and he's healthy, he could really bring in a boatload. I mean, Shoemaker was only going to bring in so much. Aaron Sanchez, it kind of feels like the Donaldson scenario. Like, now, you know, I don't think they could have traded him in the offseason anyway, because I'm not sure what they could have received. But if this guy misses another 6 weeks due to injury, what, there's not going to be a trade market. Like, who's going to be trading for Aaron Sanchez?
Yeah, no, nobody's going to be trading for Aaron Sanchez unless it's 10 cents on the dollar.
Right.
And, you know, you do have some time. And the best part, I think, that when you look at the Sanchez as well as Stroman situations, is you got another year of team control. So you're not really at the Donaldson stage at this point, but definitely approaching that territory. And, you know, it's going to be key for him to get on the mound this year, because you want to market him in the winter as well with a full year of control. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, the first 3 weeks for this ball club, as far as the rotation, when you look down the road at the trade deadline, Marcus Stroman, Aaron Sanchez, and Matt Shoemaker were all pitching lights out and looking like we talked about back in the spring, of how Ross Atkins could be at the table in July as a power player at the deadline, with three starting pitchers with a little bit of team control, pitching well and healthy. And now we're obviously talking about more health issues. And like I said, with when you look at the track record of these guys, I mean, it's hard to imagine you know, things turning around quickly now that it's you know, we're not even at the end of April, and we're looking at obviously potentially maybe a DL sent for Sanchez already.
Thank you, Scotty. Always appreciate it, buddy.
All right, boys. Take care.
There's Scott Mitchell, our TSN 1050 Jays reporter. So even though the Jays bats have come alive and they're winning a bunch of games, Sanchez, it's exactly like last year. Remember with the luggage stuff? They're like, oh, he might miss a start. We're not that worried. The guy missed 6 weeks or seven weeks.
It's not good.
No. And there's no way he's only missing a start. Like, there's just, if you crack open your fingernail and you have that many injuries in the past with that hand and your pitching hand, there's no way this guy's performing again in a week.